everyone. Welcome to The Dreaming Machine. This is Joe.
And I'm Rob.
And today we're talking about Code Geass.
Yeah, you're making me do this, aren't you? you're gonna force me to do this. I've managed to avoid talking about Code Geass or reviewing Code Geass for a long, long, long time.
So because of the popular demand, we felt it was best to shy away from that. We don't want to give people what they want, really.
Well, this is the thing. Allow me to tell a story. Ever since I wrote a certain review of Neon Genesis Evangelion on my anime list, there have been repercussions of that, shall we say. I still get comments on my profile telling me how much of a fool I am, and I'm putting this lightly. So when it came to shows like Death Note and Code Geass and stuff like that, that had huge numbers of fans, even though I could see like the holes in the plot and stuff like that, I thought, yeah, maybe not make more trouble for myself.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the title a lot. I'm aware it's a big show. I've not actually seen it, but in preparation for this podcast, I had a look and I thought, you know, that sounds really fascinating. What a great setup.
See, Code Geass is one of those shows where it is actually, it has a lot that would make it eminently watchable. I mean, it starts off with this really kind of catchy theme tune. I think it's by Colors is the band name. I think they did the main theme for Eureka 7 as well. The thing is, I hate to say it like this, it's one of those ones where high schoolers must save the world because the adults are incapable of doing it.
Well, I mean, I think we can all relate to that in a way. I'm not sure high schoolers are the answer necessarily.
Well, apparently, right, let's start off at the beginning. You have...
So is this a... you know, there's a whole bunch of spin-off from Code Geass, isn't it? So
yeah, we're talking about the core main series, the one that came out originally in 2006 that I've been avoiding covering since it came out in 2006.
Very popular. Yeah, okay.
Right. It starts off with Lelouch Lamprouge. He is in hiding along with his sister Nunnally, and they are in hiding at this school for the elite. That's really a good place to hide.
Very prominent hiding place, for sure, yeah.
Lelouch is there with his sister Nunnally and his best friend. His real name is Lelouch V. Britannia, the son of Emperor Charles V. Britannia and his royal consort Marianne V. Britannia. Lelouch and his sister are present when the Empress is murdered. His sister's been so traumatized that she's basically gone blind, and Lelouch has sworn bloody revenge on whoever's responsible.
Well, sorry, someone's so traumatized they go blind.
Apparently, yeah. And so they are political pawns.
Sure.
And it's all about the Britannia Empire's invasion of Japan and the conquest of Japan.
So you're immediately thrown into this political intrigue, this like, backstory. Yeah.
7 years later, Lelouch, now called Lamprouge, he is at Ashwood Academy and he becomes involved in a terrorist attack. And he becomes involved in a terrorist attack while he's on his way home from a chess game, which he wins because apparently he is a genius when it comes to the old strategy and tactics. He is involved in a terrorist attack and he discovers this green-haired girl called Cece, who's basically, unconscious. And so...
I feel like I should be taking notes here. There's a lot to...
There is a lot really, to take in. So anyway, his friend Suzaku, he basically is with him all the time. And that is an interesting byplay that comes into play with Lelouch and Suzaku and various other characters as well. See, one of the big things about Code Geass, and one of the reasons why I think a lot of people prefer Code Geass to the likes of Death Note and stuff like that is because where Death Note didn't really play on the consequences of Light's actions, Code Geass does try to include this causality. So Lelouch will do something, but it will ultimately have an effect that maybe he didn't predict. That's one of the good aspects of Code Geass, right? It's kind of juvenile in certain ways, but that's okay. It's telling a story, and I can accept that. In terms of the animation, for its time, it was very good. I mean, okay, it's dated a little bit now, but for its time, it was very good. The voice acting, again, was very good throughout. Mm. Okay, the dialogue... the dialogue is just... See, this is
I mean, just for everyone listening, obviously you can't see us, but there's a Rob's got a pained face as he says this.
See, when it comes... this is the thing, right? You know, if somebody's doing, like, really old-school high fantasy with the these and thous and everything like that, and is like, I will fight thee to the death and stuff like that, then, yeah, okay, fine. I'll accept it.
That's how I talk every day.
It's hamming it up, but I will accept it, okay? But then you have this really bizarre thing about the dialogue in Code Geass where Lelouch is trying to be serious, but what he's saying is so hilarious during certain serious scenes that I'm just sitting there just chuckling when it's supposed to be serious. but maybe that's just me.
I can forgive that as well in anime specifically. Yeah. I think if the themes are there and the plot's interesting, I think given the way it's reached the screen and the translation and everything, I can accept some slightly clunky, maybe corny dialogue in it.
The bits that really bug me, though, about Code Geass, and one of the reasons why I am not a fan, there are several reasons. Number one, Lelouch is depicted as being this genius at the old strategy and tactics, right? Which the chess games are supposed to highlight and stuff like that. But he continuously makes these very, very basic, almost rookie mistakes, which somebody who has been planning and strategizing, after the first couple of mistakes, you'd think they'd learn.
Right.
Right. I can forgive the first couple, but he keeps making these mistakes all the way through, like, two entire series of Code Geass.
Sure.
One of the biggest, and the show's 14 years old now, and so it's not really much of a spoiler, but it is kind of a spoiler. So I will just say, when he gets his abilities from CC the first time, right, if Lelouch was as careful as he's supposed to be, and as cunning as he's supposed to be, one of the first questions he would have asked is, can my abilities go out of control?
Is this an issue because, well, it basically
has a major impact on the story later on. And if Lelouch was the kind of guy... See, Lelouch is supposed to not trust anybody, right? He's supposed to be very, very extremely distrustful of anyone except his sister and his best friend, Suzaku. And even his best friend, he doesn't trust fully. So Lelouch is that type of character. So somebody comes along and says, okay, I'll give you this ability. You now have this ability where you can basically give someone an order, but after you give them an order, you can't order them again, right?
Yeah, that's the main power he has in the show, as I understand it, yeah.
But he never once asks, can this power go out of control? What happens if I lose control of this ability? Which is where the story kind of breaks down a little bit. That's why I said it kind of gets a bit juvenile. Lelouch, using his abilities, goes on this quest of vengeance, this quest of rebellion, wanting to lead Japan to overthrow the Britannia Empire and then lead Japan to basically get his revenge. But everybody is basically a pawn in his hands. I just kept thinking, well, yeah, okay, I can, again, understand why the story is written this way, but it seems a bit... there's a lot of convenience, there's a lot of artifice to make this happen.
To make the pieces like go where they're meant to, for
all fit together.
There's obviously some action there, there's a...
We haven't
talked about the robots fighting each.
The mech battles are good, the action's good, it's very smooth. It's the animation during those sequences is very, very good indeed. Again, it's one of the high points of the show. The relationship between the breakdown of the relationship between Lelouch and Suzaku is an interesting byplay. I think that's one of the areas where things do develop in an interesting way.
To be fair, though, the action can only be so good as a spectacle, but to get properly invested in it, you have to believe in the characters, the motivations, what they're doing. I found this with. I think I was watching Flip Flappers. This animation's some of the best I've ever seen. The action scenes are fantastic. But I just didn't buy into the characters. So I take your point that I can see how that would be a big impediment to you enjoying it if you don't buy into like why they're fighting or what they're...
Well, and this is the thing. I didn't really buy into it from the beginning. I just kept thinking, okay, yeah, you're a prince. You should be used to this, you know?
I mean, so this issue about the lack of internal logic, the characters not following what they're meant to, like, if that was taken away...
In terms of being a straight-up action show, it's great. If you're just watching it as a pure action show, it's solid.
No, for sure. And I think, well, for me at least, Game of Thrones kicked this off. Like, it's really good to look at for a show where you get that kind of... because you didn't used to get too many shows where it was about the kind of strategizing, the politics, the like background of it, really. There's another anime that came out recently called the Space Battle one, which is all about the battle tactics.
Yamato?
No.
Oh, you're on about The Legend of Galactic Heroes?
Yes, Galactic Heroes. That's another show where the dialogue's incredibly clunky and it's like just throwing exposition at you all the way through. But the themes...
Are you watching the remake?
I'm watching the latest version, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you haven't seen the original version?
No.
All right, okay. I am not going to talk about The Legend of Galactic Heroes because that is another fan base where... If you say the wrong thing...
No, I'm enjoying it.
No, if you say the wrong thing about it, you'll get a bunch of people jumping down your throat saying, oh, Legend of the Galactic Heroes is the ultimate anime masterpiece.
I guess what the relation here is I'm seeing the appeal of that kind of show because I'm enjoying it because the strategizing, the tactics and things are great. Yeah. They're really enjoyable.
Okay, so you finish watching Legend of the Galactic Heroes and in a future video, we'll be talking about that.
We will.
So, yeah, that's it for Code Geass. Let us know what you thought.
Flame us in the comments.
Yeah, be angry with us. Leave us comments below. And for sure. We'll see you on the next Dreaming Machine.